This is WSIU In Focus. I'm Kevin Boucher. And now the comments of Dr. Mike Baltz with special readings done by Carbondale's John Wallace.
John Muir walked 1,000 miles from Louisville, Kentucky to the Gulf Coast of South Florida in 1867. It was his intention to continue from there by steamboat to South America. But in poor health and with little money, Muir made his way to California instead. And the rest is history. Muir was born in Scotland in 1838 and moved to Wisconsin with his family when he was 11. Forced to work on the family farm, the young Muir often wandered into the woods to explore. He attended the University of Wisconsin for a few years, but then wandered off again into Canada, chasing boreal plants and animals. And after a work-related injury in Indiana left him temporarily blind, Muir decided to follow his bliss and walk to the Gulf to see and celebrate.
From the very same material, he made every other creature, no matter how noxious, thorny, or insignificant to man. They are earthborn companions and our fellow mortals.
Muir discovered his heaven on earth when he arrived in California. His love of the Sierra Nevada mountains and the Yosemite Valley was unbounded, and he wrote 10 books and over 300 articles, mostly celebrations of that wild California. Perhaps best known as founder of the Sierra Club, Muir was a reluctant prophet, preferring the solitude of wilderness to the noisy politics of trying to save places. But Muir and his words ultimately helped usher in the American conservation movement, and they continue to inspire nature lovers 150 years later.
Are everywhere, but the fight must go on. For every acre that you gain, 10,000 trees, flowers, and all the other forest people and the usual unborn generations will rise up and call you blessed.
Muir's vision of protecting what was left of wild America became reality in 1964 with the passage of the Wilderness Act. The act protected over 9 million acres of federal lands as places where, quote, the earth and its community of life are untrammeled by man, and where man himself is a visitor who does not remain. The Eastern Wilderness Act of 1975 protected 200,000 more acres, and the Illinois Wilderness Act of 1990 designated 7 wilderness areas in the Shawnee National Forest, eventually protecting 29,000 acres in perpetuity. Lusk Creek in Pope County is the largest wilderness area in southern Illinois, covering almost 7,000 acres. It's home to numerous state-threatened and endangered species, and the namesake Lusk Creek, flowing through deep sandstone canyons, is one of the state's highest quality streams. I recently hiked in the Lusk Creek Wilderness Area with John Wallace, president of the local chapter of the Illinois Audubon Society, and the near-spitting image of a 60-something John Muir. We walked and talked about wilderness and the future of wild places. Wallace can and did recite passages from Muir's writing with a Scottish accent. And standing on the bluffs in the sun on a cold February day, listening to Wallace channel Muir was a memorable and moving experience. Yet, even if you are never moved and inspired by an actual visit to a wilderness area, I suggest there is a pricelessness to simply knowing that these places exist and that they are protected. And while the enemies of wilderness can be powerful, we must continue to fight for these wild places, where the forest people are in charge, where streams run through ancient canyons, and where we can retreat in search of healing, beauty, and soul-satisfying solitude.
The battle for conservation will go on endlessly. It is part of the universal warfare between right and wrong. Fortunately, wrong cannot last. Sooner or later, it must fall back home to Hades, while some compensating good must surely follow. They will see what I meant in time. there must be places for human beings to satisfy their souls. The words of John Muir.
The comments of ornithologist Dr. Mike Baltz with Carbondale's John Wallace during the readings of John Muir. For WSIU, I'm Kevin Boucher.